We talked last week about the day of Pentecost and what it means for Christianity. And we talked about that group from all over the world had come together in that moment. When the Holy Spirit fell, there was suddenly this ability to forget about origin, to forget about class, to forget about all those other things that so easily separate us. And there was a substantial amount of people in that group. The Bible tells us 3,000. Those who accepted the message and the infilling of the Spirit came together as 3,000. Then they've started to live in a certainly incredible way, uncanny. The Bible says they had things in common. They shared with each other. They loved each other. They began to change the culture of where they live. Later on in the Bible, it tells us that they were turning the world upside down. And so when we think about the things and we think about the culture and we think about what it means to us, we have to ask ourselves, are we getting filled with the Holy Spirit every day? The worship this morning, just to me, was a confirmation of what God is calling us up to. He's calling us to live on a higher plane than just a good opinion or just a political position or just a place of grievance. He's calling us to live above that. And so we think about how that would happen. And as I thought about this, I said, you know, we read through that chapter of Acts and it says, you know, Peter got up in that moment. You know, a few days before, Peter wouldn't get up. None of them would get up. They were all cowering in fear. Now they had Christ. They knew Christ. They walked with Christ. They participated in miracles. How many here have ever seen a miracle? Okay. I have too. I want to tell you that if I just live off the sight of that miracle for a long period of time, I'm gonna be shipwrecked. Because even though that's a tremendous thing, that there's not enough power in the sight of that miracle to keep me going. What has to happen is I have to keep that miracle as a marker, but I have to be constantly refilled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't just live off a monument of the past. I have to be living from the future. I have to be living out of the fullness of His Spirit. So this morning we'll start out with a question, and it's this: are we in the last days? The question is for you guys. Anybody? Since Jesus died and rose again, it's the last days. Anybody else? Anybody have an opinion? Are these days any more terrible than any other days? Or how do we look at it? Anybody?
I feel like God is replenishing or cleaning, you know, like purging and cleaning the earth, like reclaiming everything, and getting, you know, purging. That's what I feel in my spirit, and I've been praying a lot about it.
So what's our theology, though? Does that mean that everything's coming to an end, or is He purging it for a grand reawakening or revival? Anybody?
Well, I think two things. One, when I start thinking about this, I always challenge myself to remember that nobody knows except God. So then I'm always like, okay, well, no matter how much I think about it or philosophize or deduct about it, or deduce about it, it's my answer is never going to be the right answer. And then I'm going to quickly sponsor Wednesday nights. We've been talking about In Christ's Image, and we talked about how it says that God's not going to come back until the harvest is ready. And I think that really challenged my view on like end times, and that there's a lot of the harvest that's not ready, and He's coming back for a mature bride, and that, you know, there's places in our life where we are always maturing. So I think that has given me a more indefinite understanding of the end times.
All right, so I think it depends on where you are, but I love Daniel's answer. We're in the last days since Jesus died and rose again. every day since then has been a last day. And today could be a last day for some of us, God forbid, right? But we are living in the last days, not in the last days from a gloom and doom perspective, meaning we have to hunker down and shut ourselves off from everybody else because the world's coming to an end and the world's in chaos. In the last days, God is going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. That's what the Bible says. And interestingly enough, I know I've lived my life for way too long thinking that was someday in the future. And that's not true. That day is today. And that day was yesterday. And it's every day since Jesus rose again. And so we read that in Acts chapter 2, verse 14 through 21. It's Peter taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, "Men of Judea, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what's spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth my spirit on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and on signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." I want to submit to you this morning that we are in this day. And that God is freely pouring out his spirit on all flesh, anyone who will receive it. If we think back to the day of Pentecost, there were many more thousands there than the 3,000 that received. But the Bible tells us that when Peter got done talking, some of them said, "What should we do?" They felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit. They felt the call of God. They felt a moment in their life for things to shift. And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, and you'll receive the Holy Spirit." 3,000, the Bible tells us, did that immediately. And their lives changed immediately. They began to live differently immediately. They began to think differently immediately. Now, there was many that didn't, but there was many that did. And we live in this day where the Spirit of God is available to us. We're not waiting for a day when God will pour out his spirit on us. We're in a day. We worshiped here this morning and God was pouring out his spirit on us. And the draw was so immense this morning that it felt like I was stretching. He was stretching me into him. He was pulling me towards him. And dreams and visions and prophecy are available to us. We're not waiting for a day. They're here now. Not everybody has the gift of dreams. Not everybody has a seer anointing, but it's available to us even if we don't have those things. Are we aware that it's available to us, or are we living to delay, or are we saying to ourselves, someday that's going to be a reality? It's important because we can't impact the world and impact humanity in the way that we were destined to do if we're waiting for something to happen that's already available to us. God's not hiding, and he's not making himself hard to find. But it takes our ability to desire him. It takes our ability first to be aware that he has something for us. Since Pentecost, God has been pouring out his spirit on all flesh. We get wrapped up in what's happening around us, and we lose sight of the fact that he's pouring out his spirit on all flesh. But you see, and that's why we go places. That's why we send people to missions trips and other that, so they can see where God's working. Ruth's just gone on this 13th colony journey and seen all these churches along the original colonies that are after God, that are hungry for God, that are going after all that he says. Yeah, we don't see that on the news. You're not going to see that on the news. You're not going to see that on the internet. typically not going to see it unless you're specifically looking for it. What you're going to see is the exact opposite. But God is pouring out his spirit on our flesh this morning if we choose to partner with him. 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, not everyone, but everyone who wanted more of God. Not everyone has more of God today, but those who want more of him have more of him. We talked about it. Hunger begets hunger, right? Dreams, visions, prophecies, signs, and wonders available since the day of Pentecost. And in some places on the planet, at some time, even right now, they're happening more often than we would believe. We'd be shocked because there's a hunger, there's a thirst, there's a desperation for them in ways that there never has been before. The problem is our understanding. We're waiting for him. He's saying, I'm available. You don't need to wait. I don't need to wait, right? This gets back to some of the stuff we're learning on Wednesday night. I don't need to wait. I need to realize that he's after me. He's pursuing me, constantly pursuing you, constantly pursuing me. He's not telling us to beg. He's not saying we have to jump. He's actually after us. Some of us think that we found God. We didn't find God. He found us. We didn't choose him. He chose us. And he did that by making himself so obvious in our lives that we just had no choice but to confront him. Now, I get it. There's people that even when they get in that moment where they don't even realize it. You realize it. I grew up in the church, but there's been periods in my life where God has, in a sense, not in a bad way, but backed me into a corner and put me up in front of a decision that I had to make a choice. Not the way we think about backing people into a corner, but a love-soaked pressure into a place where God so convinced me of his love in these moments that I had no choice but to respond. Because he's after our hearts. He's not leaving it to chance. He's not He's not indifferent about my life and your life. He is deeply invested, concerned, and love interested in each and every one of our lives. And James tells us we have not because we ask not. Or a lot of times we ask amiss. And so I get it, even sometimes in these worship sessions, whether I'm up there or I'm over here, you know, I start to do an evaluation. What am I here, God? And in a certain moment, it comes to your mind all these needs and all these problems, all these challenges, sickness in the family, this, that, the other thing, jobs. I need a new job. I need this. But in that moment, God, are you just enough? If I can just have you, if I can have more of you and nothing else, is that enough for me today? Can I go out of here satisfied and satiated if I just get more of you? If something else comes along with that, that's fine. But the goal has to be that I get more of you this morning. So we're going to pray for a few minutes this morning because I really believe there's an anointing here, and I think that during the worship, God just confirmed that that was true. And I just think if you've never had an infilling of the Holy Spirit, or you don't believe you've had, I think today is your day. Today's the last day. Today's the day that God is pouring out his Spirit on all flesh. Today's the day that you can have visions and dreams. You can have prophecy. You can have signs and wonders. Just open your heart and ask God to fill it with all that he's intended for your life. Why is that important? Because all of creation is groaning to see something different. And I want to suggest to you that it's the dormancy, or it's the inactivity or the unawareness of the body of Christ to realize that we should be carrying all that God has intended for us, that leaves people with few choices. So if I don't see something amazing in my life, I'm going to choose something less amazing. And sometimes there's a lot more things that are more amazing than coming into a church. Sorry to say. At least they seem, in the temporal sense, more amazing. What I want to challenge you with is that we move to an amazing level of intimacy with God and with each other, so that when people see it, they have another choice besides the ones they're already making. And that it does provoke them to jealousy. And it does bring them a level of conviction that says, hey, I've been settling for less. In fact, I've been settling for destruction. But today, I'm going to choose life. We'll no longer live awaiting a future that is already ours. We'll risk it all now, today, and we'll receive an anointing. So I just want you, whatever you're comfortable with, if you want to stand this morning, stand. If you want to sit, sit. If you got to, whatever, lay down, hop on one foot. We're just going to get into a little time of prayer. I will declare some things, and maybe Ruth, and I don't know if any other leadership has anything to declare while we pray, but I just want you to open your heart. I want to just ask you to be an authentic, just stand before God authentically and say, God, what do you have for me today? And I want all of it. I'm not leaving here with less than all that you intended for me, because that's the only way that my life is going to reflect you in its fullness. So let's just get in a place of prayer. And we're going to start with praying for Lionel and Vanessa. So, God, we just thank you for Lionel and Vanessa. We thank you for what you've been doing in their life, God, and the growth and maturity that is coming to them, God, because of their faithfulness to you. And we just thank you for this new baby, God, this new life, God. And we're declaring life today in the place of all other options, God. We're declaring not just this life, but a life of life. We choose this day, and they have chosen life, and we stand with them in that choice, and we just bless this life, we bless this process, and we pray that it will all be orchestrated, God, by you. Pray that this baby comes on time and in a glorious way, and that all is protected and all is well. We bless them both, God, with great wisdom for this incredible moment that they are about to experience. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so I want to declare over you this morning that today we're receiving an anointing to no longer allow ourselves to be used as tools of division and separation. We're receiving an anointing to be peacemakers. We are receiving anointing to be unifiers. And we're receiving anointing to be healers. And we are receiving an upgrade in our light. Everybody say, I'm receiving an upgrade in my light this morning. The level of my fire is increasing. And I'm not drawing back from the dark places. I am going to light up the dark places.
I'm not drawing back from the dark places. I'm going to light up the dark places.
God, I receive your Holy Spirit right now.
I receive your Holy Spirit right now.
You promise good gifts to your children.
You promise good gifts to your children.
My heart is open.
My heart is open.
And I stand here.
And I stand here.
As open as I know how to be.
As open as I know how to be.
And receive all of your Holy Spirit right now in Jesus' name.
And receive all of your Holy Spirit right now in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.